We're going to have a message on each one of these statements. Last week we talked about blessed are the poor in spirit. And today we're going to talk about blessed are they that mourn. Are they that mourn. Now again, let me just give you a little bit of a background. You remember here the Lord is, he has drawn away from and went up on the top of the mountain. This is the beginning of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. This is where the Lord's teaching and the Bible and Christianity's teaching really absolutely turns all the common sense of man, all the logic of the world upside down. Christianity has many paradoxes in it. In fact, it goes against even our own thinking and our own reasoning. It goes from being man-centered and government-centered and whatever-centered to being Christ-centered. Or as one person was talking this week to me, it's a Christocentric. And I said, what does that even mean? I think it means that the Lord is the center. God is the focus. And the Lord changes some things here. He talks about what it means to be truly blessed. What it means to be, and we talked about last week, if you remember, and I'll give a little bit of review every week. Truly blessed is the series, but that word blessed means to be happy. And when we think about being happy, the Bible, I believe there's two main focuses that we have as a church. One is to see sinners saved, and then to see the saved happy. But it doesn't mean happy in the world's sense of happy. It doesn't mean taking a group to Carowinds, letting them have a fun day. It doesn't mean leisure and those types of things, and it can have some of that in it. But happiness, being blessed, has more of a thought of joy from God. You can be blessed and happy and joyous in the Lord, even in the midst of struggles and trials. And that's what the Lord is saying here. Now, if you remember, the Jews thought and the God's people thought that the Messiah was going to come and overtake and rule and reign, and they were going to have a political figure that was coming on the scene. And Jesus came and said, no, this is going to be different. I come to usher in a kingdom. I'm doing something different. And with that background, he preaches this message. And there's never been, church, and I'm just so excited about it. I want our church to focus on. There's nothing in all of literature on the planet like this passage of Scripture. There's nothing like it. Even those who will say that they're like Christianity, they don't have this. They don't have what our Savior said right here. There's nothing quite like it. In fact, I want to give you three things again today, and really about every message is going to have the same outline. I want to give you a definition, I want to give you a description, and then I want to give you the delight in this. We have to start off by, number one, talking about the definition. When the Bible says here, they that mourn. Now, a casual Bible reader, when I read my Bible, I mean, I think you kind of just read through it real fast. We don't meditate on it, we don't dwell upon it, we don't study it out, we don't look at what all these things mean. But when we see that blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, we think of like today that folks are burying their loved ones or going through a hard time and that, hey, blessed are they that mourn. We almost mean it generally. We'll say, well, blessed are they that mourn, because one of these days they're going to be comforted. In fact, we'll go to the funeral, we'll say they're in a better place and offer some sort of comfort in that way. Now, let me say this to you, that there is some truth to that, because the Bible says that our tears will be wiped away. There is no crying in heaven. There is no brokenness in heaven. And we know that in a general sense that's true. But let me say this to you this morning. This statement here, blessed are they that mourn, means more than just, hey, it's going to be better when you get to heaven. It means more than that. In fact, we're going to talk about that today. In fact, let me give you a definition this morning of the word mourning. The definition of the word mourning is this: the expression of grief or sorrow. Now understand what the Lord's saying here. You would think the Lord would say, blessed are those who are overcomers, who are victorious. You can have your life today. In fact, the most popular preachers and preaching and ministries in America don't want you to think about sorrow, and they don't want you to think about sin. I heard one of them on national television talk about that ain't my ministry, is to preach on sin. The problem is that's not biblical. God's word tells us here, blessed are they that mourn. Now, I'm going to be truthful with you. This is not going to be an exciting sermon. You might not go away from this building and say, hey, Brother Dallas, boy, he's a fired up preacher. Boy, man, that's an exciting church to go to. It may not be like that, because when I read my Bible, things are not always that way. It's not always exciting. It's not always edifying. In fact, sometimes it's reproving and rebuking. But let me say, though, at the same time, if we will capture what God is saying in His Word right here, it can change your life. Blessed are they that mourn. You mean blessed, happy is the person who has grief or sorrow or brokenness? When I say mourning this morning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, this M-O-R-N-I-N-G, most of us have been acquainted with some sort of grief in your life. You have lost somebody very dear to you. Or you have maybe lost a job or had to move, or maybe a boyfriend or girlfriend, or things didn't go your way. I find that a lot of our mourning, though, let's be truthful, church, today, is very self-focused and man-focused. And we don't always mourn over the right things. We're going to talk about the wrong kind of mourning and the right kind of mourning here in just a moment. But most of us are acquainted with some sort of grief and some sort of sorrow. One of the things I learned early as a preacher was, it wasn't just good enough to be a pastor and preach a message, but there were people in real life that were hurting. Their marriages are hurting. Their children were hurting. Their financial situations are hurting. They're physically hurting. I believe in being fired up coming to church and being excited about the things of God. But the truth of the matter is, in real life sometimes, and I may go to the hospital today or tomorrow, and I'm going to be in the doctor's offices and at the funeral homes. And the truth of the matter is that in real life, there's brokenness and sadness and mourning. You know what I'm talking about? There's accidents that take place. There's health reports that come back. There's the innocent part of a marriage. There's the thing sometimes life just comes at you and you didn't do anything. You didn't cause anything. And you've been broken and brokenhearted. Jesus says, blessed are they that mourn. And then it says, by definition, we'll look at the other part because there's two parts. It's blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are those who have grief, those who have sorrow, those who have brokenness. Blessed are those that mourn because they shall be comforted. What does that word comforted mean? The Bible says that God is the God of all comfort. Now we have, I want you to understand this morning, when we think about mourning, we're not talking about just death. And when we talk about comfort, we're not just talking about creature comforts, what is called creature comfort. Most of us understand, we think about air conditioning. I mean, we got to get this thing in here almost. I mean, I've literally, as your pastor, watched people fanning and putting on jackets in the same service. Because we're hard. I'm the same way. Here just a couple weeks ago at the church here, we cut on the heat to break the chill and had to cut on the air because we was all suffocating. Within just a matter of hours. Why is that? Because we are very fragile people, aren't we? Very fragile physically. And so we need creature comforts or we're not happy. You let a baby not get a meal at the right time and they'll start whining. And not only babies, amen? The definition of comfort is to strengthen, to invigorate, to cheer. To strengthen or to invigorate or to cheer. So let me get this straight. You mean the Bible is telling us? In fact, I say this often to the Lord, and I don't mean this sacrilegiously. I mean this with all reverence and humility, I believe. And that I ask the Lord this, so let me get this straight. You ever read the Bible and say, now let me get this straight. Because in my way of thinking, in my reasoning, in my finite mind, and my logic sometimes, which is obviously faulty, I'm like, that just don't make sense to me in just common sense. Let me say something to you. Common sense comes from God. And so when we look at this thing, God is looking at us and says, blessed are those, happy is that person who is grieving and sorrowful because they're going to be strengthened and they're going to be cheered and they're going to be invigorated. There's going to be an excitement. You mean to tell me that if you're that there's actually excitement and happiness and blessing in being broken? Absolutely. Absolutely. Secondly, I want to say real quickly is this now, and I'm going to spend a little time right here because we got to get a description of this. We got to get a description of mourning and what does it mean to mourn. When we think about mourning, we think about some things that maybe are the wrong type of mourning. I'm going to read a few things that I've come across in my studies. We want to talk about a description of godly mourning. We're not talking about just being sad. I want to give you some things here on godly mourning. Number one, there's the wrong kind of mourning is a despairing kind of mourning.
Such was Judas's mourning. Y'all remember when Judas betrayed the Lord? And the Bible said he went out and mourned. I mean, he was broken. He was sorry. He made confession. He justified Christ. He makes restitution in Matthew chapter 27. Judas, who was in hell, what did more than many Christians nowadays. Judas was legitimately broken, but he was not broken. He was not mourning to the point of salvation. He was mourning for what he'd done in his life. A despair. I think a lot of folks get despaired because we don't get our way. We have a bad day because Route 20 is traffic, and I've had several of those. Amen. We have a bad day because the restaurant, which is overpriced, gets our meal messed up, and we can understand that. But that's not mourning. We get despair because things don't go our way or because there's some tragic circumstance. But that's not godly mourning. Another wrong kind of mourning is hypocritical mourning. The Bible tells us that the heart is very deceitful. Did you know that? I hear people say, well, if I know my heart. Well, honey, if you know your heart, the Bible says that your heart is deceitful above all things. And it goes on and says, who can know it? Only the Lord knows that our heart is deceitful. It can betray as well by a tear as by a kiss. There's a lot of folks tonight, I've been reading a message, a whole sermon about the wicked gate. I'm thinking about preaching on this. I didn't even know what a wicked gate was. And some of you all that have ever read Pilgrim's Progress. Everybody wants to know Pilgrim's Progress. And in Pilgrim's Progress, if you remember, you're coming up to the wicked gate. I didn't know what a wicked gate was. I thought it was made out like a wicker basket. I didn't know what a wicket gate was. But here's what a wicket gate is. A wicket gate was a gate during medieval times. And like you'd see like a wall in a city or a wall near a castle. And it'd have a big gate where the wagons could come through. And it would open. You'd see them all here. It would open up. And they'd let the wagons through and the horses through. It was a big gate. But over beside the gate, there was a door that was the wicket gate. And that wicket gate, if you read Pilgrim's Progress, so the only way you can get to heaven is through the narrow way. That wicket gate was the little door beside the big door. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. You see, everybody talks about the big door, but that wicket gate, see, it was only big enough, and they did that for security reasons during medieval times so that people had to come in there one by one. The whole army just couldn't flood in there. You had a lot more security one by one. And that wicket gate. And what happens is a lot of folks want to go to heaven, but they don't want, they have a hypocritical way about them. In fact, I was reading about two men above Niagara Falls, and they tipped over their boat, and they were going down toward the vista back in the 1800s, and they were going down and going over the falls. And one man looked and saw a log, a big dry log, just floating down the river. He said, well, I'm going to get on this log. He said, I'm going to get on this. This will save me. And the other guy said, man, there was some people on the shore that threw out a rope, a little old thin, skinny rope to this one guy. He grabbed the rope. He said, oh, man, I'm not taking that little skinny rope. That's not what I want. He said, well, I'm going to get on this dry log. And, of course, you know what happened. The one with the rope, he made it in. The one in the log perished. Why is that? Because the rope was attached to where safety was. You see, there's a lot of folks today, friend, and y'all know this, that they have the wrong type of broke. They're hypocritical in their more. They're hypocritical in their outlook. You see what I mean, Brother House? That they look at the things of the world and what the world looks like instead of that rope. You see, the world's a master at making the log look good. Hey, that little old thin rope will be a picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But our Savior is attached to heaven. We've got to understand, church, this morning, there is a hypocritical type of a mourning. And then, let me go on real quickly. There's a forced mourning. When tears are pumped out by God's judgment. These are like tears when a man has a stone upon him. There's a forced mourning. Have you ever, I noticed a little old Cashton, we pick at him because he has a little, a forced cry he does. I love it. His parents don't. But he goes like, I can't even do it. He goes, he makes himself cry. He's really not crying. He's forcing it. And we all know he's forcing it. Because it's not real. I've watched these shows, these detective shows. And they'll have somebody in there that's done something horrible. And these policemen are masters at this. They can tell if somebody's fake crying. They'll read their body language. And they've been trained in this. And the whole time they're talking to them, they're asking them certain questions. The person don't have any idea what they're talking about. They don't realize that the questions they're asking is baiting them to get them to open up what they really did. Let me say something to you. If a detective in an office somewhere knows how to do that to a man, don't think God don't know how to do it. God knows if it's forced. God knows if our mourning is real. Now listen, the Bible says, blessed are those that mourn. Then there is an intrinsic mourning. That means it's only on the outside. A lot of folks act like they're broken on the outside, but on the inside they're not. In fact, our Savior talks about this. The Bible talks about in Matthew 6:16, they disfigure their faces. God wants real brokenness, real mourning. Then there's vain brokenness, vain mourning. It's not real. They'll shed a few tears, but they're as bad as ever. You see, God is telling us in His Word that blessed are they that mourn. Well, you said, Brother Dallas, what type of mourning is good mourning? I'm going to give you 11 things here real quickly if I can. Some motives to the right type of mourning. I mean, there's the broken type of mourning, the real type of mourning. I'm going to read these real quickly to you if I can. Tears cannot be put to a better use. There's nothing wrong with your tears. If you weep for outward losses, you lose your tears. It's like shower upon the rock. But if you weep over your sin and your brokenness and who you are, can I say to you all, church, this morning, what I'm trying to say, what I think God's Word's trying to say to us is, we got to get back to shedding tears again. And I know it's not popular and it's not cool and it's not in style, but we'll never, hey, you ever thought about how blessed it is? In fact, that brings me to number two, godly mourning is an evidence of grace. It's an evidence of grace. When you really are saved, it says, I will pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace, and they shall mourn. You remember when you first got saved? Well, the first thing, most people that are saved, you know what they'll say is this. Boy, I wish I'd have got saved sooner. Man, I wish I hadn't have done this. Boy, I wish I hadn't ever said this. God's got a hold of my heart about something. Can I say something? The best thing you ever happened to you when you got saved is you started mourning over your sin and over your lost condition. That's the reason the people that are really saved are not prideful. This doesn't go together because you realize who you are. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. One of the greatest men that ever lived said he was the chiefest of sinners. Those that are prideful and won't mourn over their sin. That's the reason the Lord said, blessed are those that mourn. If you can't cry, if you can't get broken, there's something wrong with your Christianity. We don't like that because it's not fun to be broke. I'm like everybody. I said, man, hey, I won't even watch a sad movie if it's going to make me cry because I'll be crying here like a big baby. I don't want to be a big baby. But this is the right type. This ain't being a baby. This is the right type of thing. In fact, we think about the preciousness of tears. Tears dropping from a mournful, penitent heart are like water dropping from roses. Very sweet and very precious. I've had the privilege. I was looking at the little Bennett girl sitting up here. I've got a note on my desk in my office. She came to my office. Her mama brought her. I watched Carrie grow up. And then her mama brought her to my office. I had the privilege of leading her to the Lord in my office. I still got the little note there. I watched her and her baby sister, cute as a button, sing on the front row of this church. That's a blessing the Lord gives a preacher sometimes. And I remember her sitting there, and I always love it when them little babies get broken over their sin, because you know they ain't done near as much as us rotten adults. But they'll cry, and they'll get broken. If you say, you ever said anything wrong to mommy? Yeah. Like, I wish I hadn't. Can I say something to you? It's the most precious thing in this world. Amen? You don't think it's precious? How many of y'all mamas love to hear your baby cry? You see that tears come off that cheek? Hey, the most precious thing in this world many times are tears. Somehow or another, we've got into this thing that everything's going to be exciting and happy all the time. And if it ain't, then something's wrong. That's not true. That's ungodly, actually. There's a blessing. Hey, I don't know about you all, but I see these comedians and they'll make fun of death and dying and they'll have a whole comedy routine about a funeral service. I don't find anything funny about it. I've never went to a funeral and said, boy, this is wonderful. I've just never done it. Now, we know that as a Christian, there's a joy and a glory. There's a joy and a comfort that God gives. But we don't sit there and say, boy, I just love hanging out at funerals. Don't y'all? Boy, let's just take big jokes. In fact, if you've ever seen somebody that jokes and makes fun and laughs and is frivolous about a funeral service, it'll turn your stomach. I get aggravated when they won't even slow down for a funeral procession, as if their world's the only one. Everybody else is living in it. God help us. I'm talking about being broken in mourning. I'm just giving you just a little bit. Hey, God, the Bible says here, our Savior's saying, blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are those that get broken. Hey, if you want to be happy, you first of all got to get broke. You, many of you that are saved this morning, you never truly got happy until you first got broke. You got to get broke first. That's what he's saying. God's saying to his people. You think about your life. Consider what every Christian has to be mourning. We ought to be mourning. Hey, listen, there's a benefit of holy mourning. There is the tears are but finite. See, these tears, they don't last very long. You don't cry very long, but if you get to where you're mourning, hey, I love it when somebody says this. They say, Brother Dallas, I'm miserable. That's always a good sign. Did you know that? No, we don't like that. The world says, oh, you can have your best life now. You can have your best life now. The best life you ever had is when you got broken over your sin. When you started mourning. Some of you all this morning, you ought to go away from church saying, they're having a Bible reader's banquet. I've never read through my Bible. It ought to bother you. Not bother you to make you uncomfortable and not come back to church. Not bother you not to make you happy and excited about the things of God. But it ought to bother you because of who God is. We're studying our Sunday school, the book of Ezekiel. And if you remember in Ezekiel had to be a sermon, a living, breathing, walking sermon. And God told Ezekiel, said, they're not going to listen to you, but preach anyway. Some of you will come to this service and say, well, I kind of like what he preaches, them upbeat sermons. But the sermon you really need is to get broken. Some of the best things that ever happened in my life in church is when I just got broken. Some of the great victories in your life is when you started mourning over a situation. Said, man, I'm tired of that sin and whatever that sin is. Name the sin and get broken over that sin. Said, God, I've got to get that out of my life, even though he says, blessed are those that mourn. So, man, I haven't tithed, I haven't given. I've struggled financially all my life because I haven't ever tithed and given consistently to the cause of Christ. And you've let somebody down, some neighbor or some friend tell you, oh, that's all the church cares about is money. When God's word talks about it and you want to be rebellious against it and you won't get that right until you get broken and mourn over it. You got to get broken over some things. You ought to get broken if you used to sing in the choir and you refuse to now. You ought to get broken if you used to teach Sunday school and you don't do it anymore. You ought to get broken over these boys and girls. I took Nevin Farmer and his brother after the youth rally. And I thought to myself, driving, I drove all the way up there. And man, I didn't get home until almost 1 o'clock in the morning. I sat down in my chair at 1:30. I didn't mind. I kind of enjoyed. They're good kids. We had a good time. But I thought to myself, we ought to be broken. How many homes and how many houses and how many churches did we pass up of young people? Hey, we got to beg them to go to a youth rally. I thought, what has happened to us? I'll tell you what's happened to us. We can't praise God because we've never been broken for God. I know it's saying, don't get mad if I have nobody in mind. In fact, I'd look at myself more than anybody. Because it's not always fun. It's not always exciting. But you know, the best thing that ever happened to your life is some of you are here today because your mama and papa got broken. Some of you are here today because your daddy and your mama got broken. They brought you to church. And they said, we don't want our baby to be like this. We don't want you to live that life like I've lived. We want God to do something in your life. And the best thing that ever happened to you is when God broke your family member, your loved one. That's the reason you're here today. The reason Cook's Chapel's over here is because as a congregation, a preacher in a church said, hey, we are broken over our boys and girls and stuff that shouldn't be learning. The reason we support missionaries, the reason Ron Neely, right here from our community, our church, went to a foreign land, learned a foreign language, has given his life to that, is because he got broken over it. And look at the blessing that came because of mourning. Brother Eric Porterfield talks about losing his sight. It took him, he'll tell you, he said, it took me getting that and getting broken. I remember going to his house and went over there. I didn't hardly even know his mom and dad that well. And I remember going over there, God put on my heart. I said, Eric, you got to get out of this basement. You can't sit down here. But I'll be honest with you, the best thing ever happened to him is when God got with him in the basement of his own mama's house. Best thing ever happened to him. He said, Brother, you been serious? Absolutely. Ask him. Ask him about it. Souls have been impacted because of the mourning. Your life will change. Your family will change. Let me tell you something. There's nothing good. I look at my kids. I don't know how to raise kids. Austin says I say it all the time from the pulpit, but I don't. So, wait a minute, your kids were pretty. I said, no. Their daddy got broke. Their daddy got broken by God. It's the only good thing that ever happened to me. Amen. We don't like this. I know it's not popular, but I'll be honest with you.
Blessed are those that mourn.
I could go on here. I'm kind of getting off really what God had some things. I mean, there's a lot of good things about mourning. There's a lot of good things. You go to the hospital. I'm going to go to the hospital today. I have a family member there. At Princeton Hospital on the second floor, and on one end, the babies are born. On the other end is the ICU. I'd a whole lot rather be on the other end where the babies are born. There's a lot of excitement. They got a room there, everybody's cheering and happy. They're buying coffee and dirt pop and all that. You go on the other end, you know what they have out the other end? They have a very quiet, insulated chapel. You can't really hear the sounds outside or anything. They got a chapel there. Why is that? Because there comes a time where having a party just doesn't fit. I remember going there and being with different families that's watched their family drive out and fly off in a helicopter. Being happy and excited just didn't fit. Cheering just didn't fit. But boy, I'm sure I'm glad we could mourn and be broken about this old wicked flesh that we had. I sure thank God this morning there is a comfort. So we see a definition, we see a description. Then we see, though, let me go on here. Hey, here's a good thing. This thing's got two sides to it. Blessed are those that mourn, because what does it say? For they shall be what? Comforted. Now, wait a minute. That dear soul that comes to the altar, that dear one that sits in the pew and gets broke. You ever been to a church service today? You get that lump in your throat. You're like, he's preaching right at me. My wife called him this week. I know. I can't believe Brother Dice on their kids again. You get under conviction. When I'll be honest with you, it doesn't work that way. I've never had anybody say, will you preach on this? Because I've never had that happen. I may have hit on something, but it was never intentional. Only the Lord does that. But you know what happens is when you start getting broken, you know who comes and puts his arms on you? Puts his loving arms around you? It's the Lord. I remember several years ago, I was working the bus route at Cook's Chapel. I wasn't a preacher. And I got in the flesh one time. I was riding a van. And I did one of those things. I started fussing by myself. I'll just share this with you. I probably shouldn't, but I was in a blue van. Y'all remember old Dodge vans we had? They were two-tone blue. I remember this place. The seats were blue. A blue interior kind of makes me car sick when I drive down the road. I don't know why. I'm weird, okay? Y'all hang in there with me. Now, I never will forget because I was coming up toward where I live now. I didn't live there then, but I live there now. I was coming up through there. And I started fussing, man. I can't believe. Nobody has a car for kids. They say they love kids. We can't get two people to come out with this. I was preaching to the van. And I was fussing. Anybody ever do that? I was by myself. I didn't have anybody in mind. I didn't mention any of y'all here. God knows who you are. Amen. It's been a long time ago. I wasn't even a pastor yet. In fact, I wasn't even preaching yet. But I got kind of aggravated. I never will forget this as long as I live. And I'm not one of these. I didn't see no apparition. But I did feel like the Lord sat there in that driver's seat with me. And I've had this happen many times. And the Lord said, are you doing it for me or are you doing it for them? Man, don't you hate when you get God in on something? You taking Nevin Farmer home to help Austin out or are you doing it for me? You going to the youth rally because you love God, or are you doing it for somebody to see you? Do you really want to be comforted, or are you just doing it for yourself? Is church really what it is, or are you just going through the motions? So all of a sudden, man, listen, this message, I'll be honest with you, church. One of the reasons God gave it to me, I got discouraged here a few weeks ago. I said, God, I need to see some encouragement. And I thought, man, I wanted God to give me something. I'm like a little kid. Mommy, I ain't happy. Can I have that toy? And the Lord drove me to his word. There's some true comforts. See, this comfort here, this godly comfort. See, blessed are those that mourn because there's some true comfort. You know, there's some comforts in this world. But how many of y'all notice this? Have you ever tried to go to bed and get comfortable, but you can't? You say, well, man, these are padded pews. Have you ever noticed if the preacher preaches very long, they become uncomfortable? I'm one of those people that toss and turn in my sleep. I lay on my left side and lay on my right side. It's like a battle all night long. I can't get comfortable. I'm hot and I'm cold and I'm hot and I'm cold. I'm a typical Baptist. Amen. Many of you are the same way. In fact, it's our human bodies. It's just the way we're designed. It's hard for us to be comfortable. In fact, the comfort is very fleeting. I see these people that they'll go buy the 12-pack. I'll see them. You'll see them at the store. And boy, they're so excited about it. I thought, honey, that ain't going to comfort you. Oh, it might for a moment. How many of y'all know this? It's fleeting. Some of y'all used to drink. You know what I'm talking about? It don't last worth the money. It's a joke. But what about true mourning? I want to read some things to you real quickly. Or true comfort, I should say. Real comfort. The right kind of comfort. Let me say this to you. When we think about comfort, comfort of the Spirit, when God comforts us, it is humbling. One thing about God's comfort, it humbles us. Another thing about God's comfort, it gives us mourners unmixed. You know, when we think about, in Proverbs 14:13, it says, in the midst of laughter, the heart is sad. Sometimes I'll watch comics or comedy to try to cheer myself up, or I'll listen to jokes, because I like jokes, and I want to be happy. I want to bring something happy. But you ever notice when somebody tells you, even if they're trying to be funny, it's still sad? Did you know some of the most famous comedians in the world, if you talk to them privately, are actually very sad people? It's a documented thing. We had just, a year and a half, 2 years ago now, one of the funniest guys in Hollywood, Robin Williams, he took a belt, wrapped around his neck, and put it in the door and hung himself at his own home. He is one of the funniest guys, just to be funny. I mean, he made movies. Y'all heard of Robin Williams. Don't act like y'all know who I'm talking about. Chris Farley from Saturday Night Live drank and ate himself and drug himself to death. Jim Belushi. The list goes on and on with comedians. Why is that? Because they're funny, but they have a broken heart. Because, listen, the things of this world will not comfort but so long. So if I get money, then I'll get comfort. When I get this, then I'll get comfort. You listen, God said, blessed are those that mourn. If you get broken over your sin and whoever you really are, then I will give you a comfort that'll stand the crush of worlds. No matter what comes, there'll be a comfort. There'll be a peace that passes all understanding, the Bible says. Let me go real quickly here. I want to read a couple more of these to you. Spiritual comforts are pure. They're not muddled with guilt nor mixed with fear. They are pure. What the mourner feels is joy and nothing but joy. But even when you're having fun, some of you that go on vacation, I'm not a big vacation person, but people that go on vacation, you ever notice when you go on vacation, what do you dread the whole time you're on vacation? Going back home. In a way, then you're like, well, I kind of want to go back home. Bible talks about the house of mourning and the house of feasting. I pick at my wife because we'll go on vacation. She'll say, well, we've only got 5 days left. And then she said, well, we've only got 4 days left. I said, well, you quit. Because it takes me about 4 to wind down. That's what I'm talking about. And why is that? Because we know that there's going to be burdens and trials of life, but not with true joy, not with true comfort. The comfort God gives his mourners are sweet. The Bible says this, truly the light is sweet in Ecclesiastes. The love of God that's shed into the heart is said to be better than wine. In fact, when we think about the Bible says the lips of Christ drop with sweet-smelling myrrh. We think about what God has done for us. We think about how good God is to us. We think another thing about comfort, the comfort that God gives his mourners are holy comforts. They are comforts, the Bible says in Acts 39, of the Holy Ghost. We think about Holy Ghost comfort. Another thing about comfort, it is the comfort from God is a filling comfort. In fact, the Bible says this in Romans 15, the God of hope fill you with all joy. Ask that your joy may be full. One thing about the comforts of this world, you always feel like it's just not quite there. Well, if I get this, if I learn this, I'll have arrived. Have you ever noticed you never quite arrive? You never quite get there. But with God, these comforts are real. With God, these comforts are right. Comfort gives God gives his comforts are glorious comforts. His comfort that God gives are infinitely transporting and ravishing comforts. You remember when you got saved? I'm talking about when you get saved. I'm talking about when you get right with God. They're powerful. The Bible talks about them being strong in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. The divine comforts. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your what? Everybody remember? It says the joy of the Lord. It doesn't say the euphoria you get when you work out. It doesn't say the excitement you get when you get a raise. It says the joy of the Lord is your strength. You say, what do you mean, Brother Nelson? Listen, there's a great delight if we get broken and we get to mourning, because God says, I'm going to give you a comfort like no other comfort. I'm going to bless you like nobody else. I'll be able to give you, as I said, the preacher that they took him out to the whipping post, Obadiah, and he went out there and they put him up on that whipping post in Boston. And he said, when they beat him with 30 lashes, hey, they said he literally couldn't lay on the bed. He had to sleep on his elbows and knees. But they asked him about it. He said, it was as rose petals hitting my back. How does a man have that? I'm going to tell you how he has it. Because he's already been mourning with God. And so when the troubles come and the trials come, hey, he can have a blessed comforting that only comes from God. You see, to have a truly blessed life. There's folks that think that going to the flea markets today, from my house to here, is 47 of them, I think. I'm sure yesterday people planned it out, said, man, I'm so excited. Weather broke, now it's flea market season. We can go look at everybody else's stuff and buy it for 10 cents. I'm sure they made plans. They thought, boy, I'm going to be comforted. I see the young people having their problems. Well, if I get the prettiest date and we can go on the prettiest time, then, man, we're going to have comfort. And the truth of the matter is, it's going to fail and falter, and it's not going to amount to anything. In fact, it'll be miserable comforters as Job's friends were. I've run out of time. I could go on and on and on with this. Church, what I'm saying to you this morning, we think of the description of godly mourning, but then true comfort. I'm talking about a comfort that you can have if you lose your loved ones and you can really say they are truly in a better place. There's no comfort like that. There's no comfort than when somebody's children get saved. Hey, look, I hope they make a lot of money. I hope they become rich and God blesses them, all that. But I'm going to tell you something. We've got a faulty understanding of what comfort and blessing is, because we think to be truly blessed means material things. Most preachers on TV today say, put your hand on the TV and sow your seed here. And boy, hey, listen, I'm telling you, I'm talking about real comfort. I'm talking about people that, hey, why did these preachers swim across lakes and rivers to start churches? Why did missionaries give up their life? Why was our ancestors martyred? Because they had a comfort that could stand to crush your worlds. We're talking about the real thing. So there's a great delight. I sure am glad this morning, if you're broken, if you're hurting, if you are just like, man, I just don't know what to do next, there's a comfort for you. The fact that you're mourning and broken, I'm not making light of that. Don't go away and dismiss it. Brother, I sure did dismiss that. I'm not making light of that at all. In fact, what I'm saying to you is this. When you're there, as I was with the Hubbard family just a few weeks ago now, and they put us in a little room to the side, and I looked at the doctor and I said, doctor, how much time are we talking? Never will forget. Miss Debbie's here today. He said, 10 minutes tops. I think we all were like, what? He said, 10 minutes. I'll be honest with you. I could have given Miss Hubbard, I could have given her an extra paycheck. I could have bought her a boat. I could have given her all the money in the world. I could have looked at those boys and said, boys, don't worry, we'll have a party tonight. Boys, I'll give you something to make you really happy. Hey, if I'd have got him a whatever, y'all know what I'm talking about. It'd have been miserable comfort. Brother Dallas, that ain't going to help us any. Brother Dallas, that don't mean a thing to us. The only comfort we can have, though, we put our arms around and say, but we've got a God. We've got a God in heaven that can give you a comfort like no other. I'm talking about real. I'm talking about when you lay your head down. I'm not talking about when you're in front of everybody. I'm talking between you and God. This is very personal pride. That's why the Lord says this right here. It's so powerful. He's telling it to everybody. He's also telling it to you. You may be here this morning, man, you're broken over something. Blessed, happy is that person. Because when that happens, when you really get broken over who you are and who God is, you can have true comfort. Now, I'm going to give you three things. We'll go home. Number one. We need some true mourning. I'm talking about true mourning. I do too. You see, sometimes I say, Lord, I need some encouragement. No, we don't need encouragement. We need to get broken. We forget how good we have it because we ain't never really had it bad. I was watching, some of y'all heard of John McCain, the Senator John McCain. I was watching the story of the man that was with him in captivity. Not John McCain, the man that was with him. And they were side by side for a year. He was in captivity for almost 10 years. I said, 10 years? Can you imagine that? And they were so comforted because the other person knew English. I was thinking, man, we're not in comfort about anything. So we think about comfort. Listen, let me tell you something, friend. We need real comfort. We need some morning. When you get to, you don't can't even speak to somebody, to have somebody even speak English to you, or whatever language is your native language, you say, hey, man, praise God. When you can't even hardly get up out of the bed to be able to walk is a blessing. Amen. We got to keep it in perspective. We need some true mourning. Secondly, we need to thank God for true comfort. Let's just be honest. God's not only has God comforted us, He's even given most of us creature comforts. My truck has heated seats in it. How spoiled can you be? And some of y'all got air-conditioned seats. Hallelujah. Well, I get aggravated if I come in here and that air don't kick on just like that. I hit the button. Come on, air, let's go. We're struggling. We've been creature comforted. We've been blessed beyond compare. Let's just be honest. Amen. We need to thank God for true comfort. Don't you thank God for that time He put His hand on your shoulder? Don't you thank God for that time that He said, honey, I love you. No matter who else loves you, I love you. Let me say this. We'll close. Don't let something delay you. I've been pastoring now for many years here. Several years, in fact. And I wonder sometimes about people coming to the altar or getting right. And I say, Lord, is it my preaching? Is it their hardness? I think about Brother McBride teaching in Sunday school about Ezekiel. The Bible says that they're going to say, they're not going to listen to it. Ezekiel had a living sermon, and God said, they're not going to listen to you, but he preached it anyway. Some of you this morning, well, this will go right out of you. I'm sure I heard sermons like this, and it went right out of my, in one ear and out the other. And I don't want to hear it because it's not real popular. It's not real fun. But it could be the best thing that ever happened to you is when you got utterly broken about who you are and about where you're going. By the way, this is to Christians. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you've got to get broken over your lost condition. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you've got to get broken and mourn. And when you're broken and mourning, God says that's when you're blessed. Not when you're excited and waving the banner and say, Hosanna. You remember they said, God save us. The Lord said, blessed are you when you mourn. What a contrary thing. It goes against me. I said, Lord, are you sure about this? In fact, when I prayed and studied, I said, Lord, are you sure that, I knew it's God's word, but blessed are those who are grieving, those who are in sorrow. You mean that's a blessing? Absolutely. You see, nobody else in the world, there's no other, these atheists make fun of God, make fun of the things of God. I always want to say, okay, what are you going to say to somebody when they die? What's your answer? We just go to the ground? Boy, that's a lot of comfort, ain't it? What's your answer to all the problems of life? You mean they killed almost 6 million Jews? You mean they killed millions of people during the wars and all your answer is, well, they just in the ground? You mean that's it? There's nothing, there's no heaven, there's no hell? You mean that's all there is to it? I want to say to you this morning, we've got a God in heaven that wants to comfort you. Blessed. Happy. Is the one that mourns. Let's all stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I tried to bring the message you put on my heart.